different voice, you know. You get a, I feel like, you know, and I'm sure that would happen with any translation. If you keep reading it over and over, you kind of read without really hearing what it says. But this says, for who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give him advice? And who has given him so much that he needs to pay it back? For everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever. Amen. There's a powerful lesson in there in and of itself, but I want to read, I want us to take the time to read the following chapter, the 12th chapter, which is very familiar, but again, a little different voice here. And it says, and so, because God is so big and we are small, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Think how many times we heard the word transformation in these evaluations. And then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can, all you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God, for the scripture says, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Pretty powerful stuff in there. I think if you think about desiring to be a church that helps people live transformed lives, you know, that's sounds like to me that's what we're trying to get to, you know. And I don't know, I just felt particularly convicting to me. And so
we should read the next chapter.
Yeah. Yeah, Romans is pretty.
Yeah, there's some stuff in there.
There's some stuff.
Yeah, there's some stuff.
Yeah. Yes. All Israel is going to be saved.
Yep.
figure that one out.
Yeah, well. So anyway, it's my prayer that God will help us to see clearly how we can call people to be transformed, not just members, not just, but to be transformed as Christ would have us, because of Christ.
As you say that word, thinking of members, I think of the Mentons, how they have been transformed, and they're not there yet with baptism, but just in the way they have served in the body. You know, just they've gone to weekend retreats, you know, their kids have been there, and they're just really...
hungry.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Yep. Okay, we can move right into people.
Steve, did you happen to get the list from whenever Elizabeth got the money out today? Because I know Kaylin wasn't here today, so she wouldn't have got the prayer list.
I don't know if Elizabeth did that today.
Okay.
I didn't see
it. Maybe only with Kaylin. I know that Virginia Pierce had put a prayer request in there.
She did.
But because she asked me where to put it, since we don't have the baskets anymore.
Okay.
Before church, and so she had dropped something in there. But
yeah, I think because Kaylin was out today, I think Elizabeth decided to wait until tomorrow.
Okay.
Anybody else need a pen? All right.
See, Alec told us about, what was it, Sunday? He came in and...
Oh, Alec told us about... Alice Ferry and...
Yes.
She's back home.
Yeah.
I thought she was going into a nursing home.
I did too. I thought she was going to like an extended kind of assisted living or some sort, yeah. So I don't know how she ended up back home.
It's a lot cheaper.
That's true.
And he told us about two people, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah.
Nina and her car. Alec was following up, asked me about benevolence opportunities, and I told him, you know, kind of the scope of what we try to do, but I don't know anything about her car situation. Mm. He thought he would follow up, so that wasn't one of the
things.
Mm-hmm. Does anybody else know about Nina, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And her vehicle that she asked for some help a few weeks ago because it's not running. And it sounds like she doesn't know what to do, but I don't know any more than that.
Yeah, I think she was asking for help because she had gotten some bid. Well, first of all, she had given the guy some money to work on the car, and he was being elusive. He would show up, wouldn't show up. He would come late at night. It's too dark, and so she said, "I gave him money. I can't get him to come out." And then she got another guy to actually give her a bid on a car, and he put it on. Like
I saw you on a napkin or or an envelope, or
like $3,200, you know. And so it was like, you know, I said, well, let's pause. And that's when we made the announcement at church. Hey, do anybody know a legitimate mechanic to help her? Gwen's been picking her up. She picked her up yesterday, and my understanding is that she's got someone to work on her car next month. I'm not sure the details or what, but she wasn't really asking for money, you know, to help work on the car. She was asking more to find a legitimate mechanic, you know, and so so I don't think it's a money issue. I'm sure she wouldn't turn it down, but that wasn't where she was needing. It was more just finding somebody that's trustworthy to work on the car.
Do we know where she lives?
Yeah, she lives with Patrina. She lives in Pagedale.
Oh, okay.
So.
My wife said that Miriam, the lady that's been visiting from Columbia, she fell and broke her arm. So Michelle's going to try to follow up with her and see what's going on. So.
Wow. Now, isn't Albert in the early stages of the
Yeah. So she doesn't need pain on top of pain. Mm. So. Mm.
So Alec's other one, was that not Stephanie's father-in-law that died?
No, that wasn't what he came in about. He had put that on last week, I guess.
I'm trying to think if he told me anything else.
What else did he?
Okay.
It's another reason we're getting too old.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm gonna reach out to Miriam and just maybe from the elders, take them lunch one day this week if they're open to that.
That'd be great.
Yeah, from us.
Boy, Ted did a great job, didn't he?
He did.
Yes.
He's such a good kid. Not a kid anymore.
Yeah.
Such a
good success story.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And then even more, just how he's managing his money. We went out to eat, and I always ask him how he's doing with all that. And amazing. Just amazing how well he does with that kind of stuff, having grown up and what he did not see, things like that. Just amazing.
Yeah, did a great job.
He has a lot on his plate, though. He shared with us with his mother's situation.
Yeah.
The Mayberries are providing housing for her now and have been for almost a year, I think.
Well, 10 years, probably.
10 years?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's free right now.
Yes.
And most of the time it's been free because she hadn't worked.
Yes.
Yeah.
She sounds a little depressed, you know, not leaving the house much at all. And so he's trying to figure out how to best care for his mom. And he's not getting a lot of help from Terry. Terry said Terry's dealing with his own situation, and so he's not engaged with helping with the mom. So he's need our prayers. And he said, maybe if we just reach out to Terry, that was what he asked us to do. If we could do that, that would be helpful. You guys probably know Terry and Tora are separated.
Mm-hmm. So, I had a reasonably good chat with her about a month ago. When taking them home, and it was just her, so we could talk a little bit. And so she described it as they're co-parenting, they're in good terms. Her daughter, Ariel, actually spends more time with Terry than with Ariel in a typical week because he lives with Tora's mother, I guess in the basement or whatever, and that's where Ariel spends the week, right down the street from the school she goes to. So he's involved with Ariel.
That's good.
And so Tora describes it as a friendly relationship between the two of them.
That's good.
So Dave, Terry stays with Tora's mom?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which is the reason why they moved out originally, because he didn't want to be at the house with the mom, is what I had heard. Which is, and that's where all the stress was on the thing. So they moved to a new apartment. So then he moved back to
that. That's right. I remember hearing that.
Yes. So
I don't know a lot of the details, but my read was Tora moved out with Ariel. She couldn't take it anymore. And Terry's been there the whole time.
That's that was just because originally it was that Terry didn't have a very good relationship with the mom. And that was is what my understanding was. Okay. And so I could see them all leaving, or two of them leaving, and then him saying that's...
Debbie and I had lunch with Mary Jo on Saturday, which was the year anniversary. Hard to believe. She was doing pretty good. I mean, but it's been a year.
Yeah. And it doesn't seem like she's really crashed since he died.
No, but she's definitely still struggles with the depression.
Yeah, but she used to crash.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was expecting something like that.
Actually, I mean, just my sense, and I'm certainly no expert in it, but she seems to be more level.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it...
Since he has passed.
Yeah.
I mean, she's doing really well, and Dolores has been so good with her.
Mm-hmm.
And spending time with her and helping her with a lot of things. Dolores' organization helps her, so.
Mm-hmm.
And then too, I don't know. I know Brett and Steve and Dave knew the nunneries.
Yeah.
Did you hear about Betty?
Uh-oh.
Betty was killed in a car accident.
Oh.
Last Monday.
Okay.
And
I thought you told me she killed herself.
Well, that's what they think she did.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Was she his caregiver?
He's still pretty... I mean, he's losing eyesight, but he's... Well, I saw him Thursday night. It's the first time I'd seen him in a while. And he was...
Okay.
But David, and her son, is still is around, and his wife. But I suspect that Wayne's probably going to need to be in some sort of...
Wow.
And... I just don't know all the details, so I'd keep that part in here.
Okay.
But evidently she did. She has struggled with mental health for several years, and
So did Jeff Foley start his job today?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I did not talk to him today.
Okay.
I'm sure he's still there.
Yeah, he had to go in.
Yeah. He has to go in 4 days.
Oh, man.
So out of a person that hasn't been in an office for
10 years.
20 years, maybe.
Oh,
even.
Boy. And what's he doing?
He's at Charter or Spectrum.
Doing database?
Data stuff, yeah.
Oh,
and
good
so,
for him.
But it's a 4 day a week so far, and it was like 8 to 5 or something. And I'm like, how are you going to even work that?
Yeah.
That's already 3 or 4 more hours than you usually work. Yeah. And all in the office.
Had a huge crash, and they put out a website. They don't know when they're going to be able to fix it.
But did you? Did he do that?
Yeah. He's not
want to get away.
I think it was something dealing with the weather.
Yes.
But my dentist, I tried to call their office today because I lost a filling. And he did call me back, but he hasn't been able to connect to his office because there's no Wi-Fi, way to connect. He can't get to his,
Did any of you guys lose Channel 5 yesterday?
I heard it went off.
It was off for a long time. Their antenna had some, it may be related to the Charter issue, but it was something with their antenna that had just went down, and so... But, it's all digital, so it's using internet somehow to get from somewhere to somewhere else. And
you're in trouble.
They were still running the studio, acting as if it was real.
As of this morning, I know that Davis's were still out of power.
They have it as of this morning at 9:30.
Oh,
so they got it back.
Thank goodness.
Joyce got it back during church yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Rick Sally got it back last night.
Well, we went out to my son lives in Wildwood. And so Friday night, we were talking on the phone. His power was out, so we were watching, seeing where the tornado was going, and it was really close to the place he's staying. We said, all right, it's time to go down and get in the cellar. And he didn't want to because there's spiders and mice and all that. So we stayed on the phone with him. It's about a half a mile north of him is where it ended up going by. And then... In Arnold, it was over there real close to where my brothers live.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And the good thing is that most of it was jumping. So most of Arnold, so the main portion of it, it all was in the air. So all the signs, all the heating and things.
Yeah.
So I have a friend that works at an instrument company down there. And the whole heating block, it's like thousands of pounds, was picked up, thrown into Jeffco Boulevard.
Oh, really? Oh.
And it's just like inside, nothing. No
really?
Problems. All the instruments are fine. No broken windows or anything. Just the roof was missing. So it was just very interesting as it just jumped and just picked up signs and whatever else. But and then every once in a while it hit a house or something.
Yeah.
And then
Wow. We had a lot of hail and a lot of rain. Boy. Any other members we know that were affected by the storms?
I think Betty said she was.
Who?
Betty. Betty Vaughn.
Yeah.
Did we check the leakage on the downstairs on the...
I'm walking the roof on Wednesday.
Hmm. What happened?
Well, leaking the 112A.
In the older room?
Yeah. So like that same spot where the one had fallen through, it was brown on Sunday.
All right. Yeah, make sure to send me an email when that kind of stuff happens. I'll go take a look and see what's going on.
Okay. I think we're going to have to probably, there's a lot of stuff popping off the buildings and, you know.
Yeah.
We're going to need to do some.
I got a report for our finance meeting on that part of the building. It's pretty bad over there.
Yeah.
You know, it's a side that's most visible to our community, and
it looks bad.
It does. Yeah. It does. Hmm. So I got some recommendations for that.
What part's coming off?
There's paint, pieces of paint that are falling off onto the ground. I got pictures, but I don't want to get into it right now. But this whole side of the building, there's probably about...
All the metal.
Yeah.
Right now, it's just an aesthetic issue, though. So I would be price conscious of that, and... So yeah, let me know how it goes. But it's, right now, it's just an aesthetic.
It is beautiful. We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
But the monument sign needs some work. I mean, yeah. That's, and then some other things. So like the awning on the north side, those support poles, they are deteriorating at the base.
Oh, yeah.
So Steve Jones is going to take a look at that. And give us, and then we got somebody else coming out that Keaton recommended to take a look at it this week. So hopefully we'll have some numbers on some of that stuff coming up real soon. But yeah, that's right. It is an aesthetic issue. If you look through this window from the outside, it's not that screen.
Yeah,
it looks pretty.
My wife was all over me the other night. Said, "Why don't you guys fix that?"
Yeah.
It's not on the priority list.
Yeah.
It's not.
I mean, we just get the price and we'll look at it because it's been painted before, and you know, it's almost better just to flake it off and wait and get the right stuff. But I can get up there and flake it off. But let me see what the bids are.
Okay.
Well, I think the bigger issue is that we painted it in the past. And just paint,
right?
It's not the answer. I don't think we gotta look at one of these coatings of some sort. I think, of course, that's gonna be a little more expensive.
So. Yeah,
25-year warranty.
Hey, I won't have to worry about it. And then there's the geese.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oops.
One less.
Yeah. But yeah, make sure that that's on the to-do list also.
Okay.
Put those things on there.
Okay. Any more people before we go on the agenda?
Oh, Art McAllister's father died.
Last
Saturday of March is when they're going to have a memorial celebration for him.
Okay.
Steve, you want to lead us?
Yeah, sure. Father, we come to you with different people that we've discussed. Alice Ferry and all the transitions in her health, with Nina with her car issues, with Miriam breaking her arm, and with Terry Krigler, with Mary Jo, just the celebration or the one-year anniversary of her husband dying, for the nunneries with Betty's death and Wayne's care, rejoice with Fogarty and getting his job, and then we mourn with Art McAllister and the loss of his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And Father, there's others in our church that need prayers, and we just pray for them. Some dealing with cancer, others just struggling with life, and we ask you to be with them and just show them your presence as they navigate that, and may they grow in their faith as they struggle.
Thank you for allowing us to serve your kingdom as shepherds, and bless us as we make decisions, and especially as we continue looking for a lead minister and a children's minister. Mm-hmm. Bless our time, our meeting here today. It's your son's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, lead minister search. John Blackmore. I think the elders got, I guess, all of the comments and stuff, and I guess you've kind of picked up just what you've picked up, Jeff.
Because that was on all the emails.
Yeah, so.
I had two more that people had talked to me, and I kind of put on my phone. Brian Hill, he said he's a great guy, but not a good fit for MX. Katrina and Chris Fuller says, not sure. I'll read their text. Not sure I'll get a chance to talk with you. Chris and I don't feel John is a good fit for MX. We're only two voices, and we get that. Praying for a decision. So, which is kind of what most other people have said.
And I had talked to Jeff Fogarty, and he just said he didn't feel he was humble enough, and kind of voiced a lot of the same things the other people did. And Tim Nicholson was all ready to hire him. And there was one more. Oh, well, I think everybody heard from Steve Hopp, but Steve Hopp was ready to.
I got a call from Susan Blaine today. I think she answered the survey, but didn't feel like she was very clear. And so she wanted us to know a very similar assessment, that nice guy, but not what we need. And feels like she has a gift for reading people. And, you know, with her profession and everything, there's some validity to that. And, you know, given just a Sunday morning, but she just didn't think he interacted very thoroughly with the congregation, even though he had a fine sermon and has plenty of obvious gifts. Mm-hmm. So kind of right in line with a lot of what we're hearing. So
it's funny, Susan, because I was outside in the lobby when she came in listening to him. She's like, we need to hire him today.
Susan Blaine?
Yes. That was her response halfway through the sermon. And so when you say that, it's sort of funny because after, I didn't get to talk to her, but yeah, she still seemed very positive. Huh. Just in general that day, because usually the other days when she had got to the point of not liking the person, the positivity was not there.
Yeah.
You could tell her sort of disappointment that.
I think that maybe a lot of it came from discussion amongst the congregation, that, you know, where they maybe, she talked to somebody that brought points up that she, I don't know, but it is kind of.
I was really encouraged by how many invested a lot of time in writing us, mm-hmm, and in even listening to some other sermons of his, and mm-hmm, and not taking it lightly. I was just really encouraged by that.
If you guys wouldn't mind, indulge me for just a minute, but if we can divorce our minds from our own assessment of the weekend versus the feedback we've gotten, because I was the Steve Hopped. It's like, he's having a home run weekend. We're going to hire this guy. Hmm. And so then the feedback started coming in, but that's really where I was. And I'd like to know where you guys were of your own feelings, and then we'll figure out how much to weigh this congregational input, mm-hmm, if you wouldn't mind.
And I like that, and I just want to make this comment, and I think Don touched on it, is it is best for all of us to think and pray about this as soon as we can, and put our comments down as soon as we can, because like Don said, your thoughts will be seeded by comments by other people. And so you want to be divorced as much as you can, and just as soon as you can, just write down your thoughts. So I think I like that idea.
So the Steve Hopp language said it pretty well. We need to hire this guy. That was my own take.
I think I was fairly positive, after the weekend, mainly based on the fact that I felt like he and Laura both were very engaging, and they were very much, and in some ways very different from the prior candidates we had, who were much more either, I wouldn't say aloof, but just not as engaging in...
A little more reserved.
Yeah. So I was very positive about that. I did have a little concerns about the age thing, just since we had been pretty clear that we wanted to try to attract somebody younger. And then, so I'd say I was generally positive up until like the sermon. And then in the sermon, I felt like I got a little clearer sense that I felt just a couple nuances about kind of the old traditional sort of preacher, you know, just, and then when other comments came in about, particularly from our younger couples, you know, it was pretty clear mm-hmm. there was not an engagement there. Mm-hmm. And I got to think that, again, if we set out to try to find somebody that could help with the next generation, then that's where I guess I clearly felt like that he's not the guy, you know. He might, and again, I feel very strongly too. I love them. I think they're very strong Christians. I think they've got a great faith. And but if we're really focusing on that next generation thing, I'd have to say not a good fit.
I was concerned right off with his age, but I settled that one pretty much, not totally. He was very young at heart.
Yeah, enthusiastic, energetic, missional.
Yeah.
I thought.
That was fine, but as he was preaching, I thought we're going backwards. It's a little more old school. I thought, and then as he kept going, he was just kind of out there. And so, but ministry skills, yeah. I figured he'd have a lot of really good ministry skills that we need, but I just, again, just didn't think it was a good fit for us. So, and my wife and I, we talked about it before we got all the other comments, and she kind of felt the same way, a little more old school.
So I have it's on Don that my picture has been different than everybody else's because I didn't get any of the comments from everybody else. I got a few, so Steve Walker isn't quiet. He tells me everything. So, because at the staff meeting, we all talked about it. So we spent Tuesday a little bit talking a little bit more about it. And we had all been together already at that point. So originally, as he came in, I felt, I didn't really care about the age because I knew that our young people that we've been having had been not where we needed them to be. So I was like, well, I think age isn't going to matter. If it would have been somebody that was dying or something, that would have been different. But he had that energy that was different. And the thing that kept on popping in my head was the conversation that we had with Jeff before he retired about the different, the five roles of the ministries at the church. And so, because he doesn't fit our normal. He's definitely on the evangelist side of that. And can he preach? Yes. Does he preach perfect? No. And so this is where, once I finally listened to the sermon and listened and listened and listened, this 53-minute sermon, the thing about it that I realized is that he was trying to wow us with his sermon a little bit because he had his points. There were 3 points or four, however many there were. But he filled them in with all these extra stories that were things that he had probably won people with before. Mm-hmm. That's a really good point. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to throw that one in there too because they're going to like it. But the thing is when you do that, it sort of makes it where you lose everything. So he didn't put his best foot forward because he didn't just give us a concise message. He just let the Spirit just keep going. He had prepared it though. So he had told us, Steve and I think, or he may have even mentioned it in the letter, about it being the Holy Spirit driving him. Well, prepared things are not always the Holy Spirit, because that's you bringing it together. So, and I know that me and Brett had been on conversations with him about his message, and it just kept on getting bigger and bigger and bigger every time that we got a new PowerPoint. It was not necessarily the withdrawal, like the thing that kept me from thinking so much about him, but it was just one of those pieces that it was very empty in the end. And that was sort of hard. I mean, because he didn't put his best foot forward, I think. So, and it may have been nerves, it may have been something else, it may have been just him. And that's where I sort of landed, I think, in the end, that it's like, Steve had tried to get him to stop, like, he ran over 53 minutes, gets to Bible class, he has 10 minutes, Steve gives him 20, and then he took 42. So with that, and Steve had tried to stop him, and those are the things that it's like, okay, so you have to learn to control.
Yeah.
And that was the next thing, that it was sort of the part that took me to a different picture, just by knowing what was going on and seeing it. And that's definitely not the way you want to come into an interview. And yes, he is old. So he does have his rhythms of how he likes to do things. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure. I would not necessarily say, no, we should not hire him. But I would not necessarily say, yes, we should hire him. And because sometimes we need something new, but it's hard to think if that's really the new that we need yet. So
I wrote mine down right when I got back, you know, thought about it a little bit. And you know, overall general, I thought mostly positive. You know, my thought was not that we'd hire him, but we'd maybe have another discussion. We'd have to, you know, talk about this. And so what I wrote is some of my concerns were when we was talking, he said he spent 2 years preaching through Hebrews. And I that means you're not preaching a lot of other things. And you know, again, that may be okay, but it's, you know, I don't know how long I could sit through Hebrews, you know, every Sunday. And so one of them, the other was age. In my head, and I think made comments of this last time, is I thought if we had a second conversation, it'd be, you know, at 65, we're going to have to revisit this. And I think for 5 years, you can bring a lot of benefit that we need right now while we're looking for somebody else, because he has a lot of ministry experience and could really stabilize a lot of things. And I think he's an okay preacher, but I think he could really stabilize a lot of things. But it would only be a 5-year period. And it's like, then we got to re-talk about this. And then the other I wrote down is that the length of the sermon was 52 minutes. And I didn't like that. You know, if you're going over 20 minutes, it better be a real good sermon. And it wasn't worth the time. I found Laura to be chatty. And so, you know, I'm taking notes. It's like she's saying things, but it's not moving the ball. It's just, she's just being chatty. And some people are that way, but, you know, it's just it was the wrong time and place for some of that, you know. And you know, but I can get over that. But it's just, you know, for whatever, it's more of a feeling, right? It's just, I just found her chatty. Now, the old school doesn't bother me. The next gen focus doesn't bother me. So those are my general feels. But then reading through the comments, I agree a little bit with what Matthew Bardwell said, that at best, Michael is ill-prepared that you would go that long in a sermon. You know, you've been preaching long enough, you should know within, I would say, 2 minutes how long this thing should go, you know. You know, you've been given this time, you got to stick with it. So at best, he was ill-prepared. At worst, it was indulgent. And I think it was probably somewhere in between where, and he's told us that a pulpit is almost a stage for him. And that, you know, you don't want that. And you know, I don't want to read too much into that, but I'm thinking it was probably at least ill-prepared. So that were my thoughts on it.
So, Brett, the one thing about time is that I went back, and me and Steve had a conversation about that, about the time. And so I went back and looked at a lot of his sermons, and it was not unusual
right.
for the sermon to be
over 40,
over
50, 40 right.
45 or 50 minutes.
And, right. so, and I noticed that as well. But we, if we give him a timeline, it doesn't matter
correct.
What his normal Definitely. Sermon is. You got the timeline.
You prepare it.
Right.
Did we give him a timeline?
That's why I'm not sure if we did.
Oh, we didn't?
I don't think
oh.
we did.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's why I was going to okay. give him a pass on that part, because we didn't really give him a timeline.
Okay.
But he has...
But he should have asked that, too, though.
He should have asked, yeah. but it's still, we should, just to cover our base, we should have given him a timeline. But the other thing, he was very adamant about how much he has scoped us out.
Right.
He, so should he, have got, he had a sense of how
yes.
many... Right, you know, what right. we typically do in sermons, but, you know, so I was ready to give him a little bit of a pass on that because I don't remember giving right. him a timeline.
For the sermon, yeah, but for yeah, class.
For the class, yeah. yeah.
He definitely stepped you know, all over you know, that
so,
one.
And doing class time, I looked around and said, okay, can we give him some grace? It's because there wasn't a lot of young couples in there that had to get out and go up. And so so I said, okay. He's past the 20 minutes. He's still going. So I did like this. I didn't want him to think I was raising my hand. So I did like this. Mm-hmm. Like, take six more minutes. And he didn't acknowledge anything. So I did it a second time. And he said something to the effect, I'm going to make this point, then I'm going to wrap up. Well, he made that point. He was making another point. Yeah. So I had to stand up and before he really shut it down, right? And so... And then when I read Philip's comments about how that is pretty much his
yeah, right.
method of doing things. Yeah. So it wasn't a one-off. It wasn't like I'm trying to impress. That's who he is, right? And he doesn't – it sounds like that he has trouble gelling with, you know, those kind of directions. And so that was – you know, that – so that validated something I was feeling but couldn't be sure because I didn't – give him parameters how much time. But when Philip wrote that, it's okay, this is who he is, right? Then the other thing is that it is important to me that somebody comes in that can really communicate well or engage the next generation. And the first part of the weekend and even through our interviews, he was saying, yeah, I can do all that. But then up here, when we had the leadership ministry, he said, well, Nathan will be doing that. You know, he said, Nathan's probably better qualified to do that. And that was okay. I mean, that just means that, okay, we got to think about, if he's a great guy for these other things, we got to think of another way of how we want to reach the next generation, right? And so so he wasn't going to be that person. Then the other piece that I think would have been important to me is that if he's not going to be reaching, really engaging with the next generation, will he have a message for those who are coming in here seeking, who are considered unchurched? And what I heard Sunday, I don't think he does, because he would say things like, hey, you know what that's all about, referencing a scripture, so I don't have to get into that. Well, if you're trying to reach the unchurched, you don't make assumptions about what your audience know. You take time to dig into those pieces. And so so I felt like, well, maybe from what I saw, I said, he doesn't appear to be that person either. And then I said, well, maybe he's the kind of guy that can really get people excited about discipleship, and, you know, and kind of feed into that part of it. And maybe that's what he can do. But I didn't think he culturally, and I don't know how to define it really, except it just doesn't feel like us. You know, it doesn't feel like, someone described it this way to me. They said, look, I don't really want somebody that's going to come in that's going to slow us down. We have to bring along. We have to, mm-hmm. you know, and so, and I get that impression from him. And then I don't know how malleable he would be. And we don't want to just reshape everything or just not allow a person natural giftedness to maybe help us to see things we can't see, you know. So, but there is something, there'd be some alignment somewhere. And I don't know how well we will align, where we can maybe follow him in a direction that we're not comfortable in going. So I don't see him as the person that will lead us in that direction to the, you know, taking those next steps. That was my assessment.
And I need to clarify, when I say I don't see him as the one that ties us to the next generation, I'm not just talking about Nathan's group. I'm talking about the 20s and 30-somethings yeah. that I think if we don't keep them,
mm-hmm.
yeah. we're going to be in a whole lot worse situation than we are.
Mm-hmm.
We won't make it to the
no.
junior highs and the senior highs, you know. Yeah, so yeah. I think it's just as important for that connection with that group, too.
And I think the other generation that's important to us, and this is the one that we can probably relate to the most, is the one that's right behind us. And that's the group that didn't really like him a lot, you know? Yeah. And so, you know, so that's a very important group to us as a congregation, is not just that younger generation, but that generation that's following us, you know? And so, and a couple of people responded that I was really happy they were really engaged. I don't remember the clappers responding before.
Yeah,
before,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
so.
And what a
great, thoughtful,
yes. response it was yes. for both of them.
Yeah. They're engaged, which is exciting.
Yeah,
you know?
That was just, yeah, and them so, and some, several others. Yeah. It's like, wow.
And so, but, you know, that generation behind us is really the ones that we can really bring along. And so if they're not excited about them, you know, that worries me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
My take, when I first heard the idea, I thought we were looking for younger people, and I was kind of like, you know, why are we doing this? And then when they came and I listened, I thought, I was impressed with their hearts in terms of, it seemed to me that I thought maybe God would send us somebody that was could do some of this stuff. I'm not as concerned about, you know, people who are worried about his address or attire, even going long on a sermon. Okay, I think he's got some talents and abilities that could help us, is kind of where I came down. The one thing that bothered me was that email from Philip saying that we should reach out to his former supervisor
yeah.
in that group. And did anybody do that? I'm just curious.
No, I didn't. I was waiting for this meeting.
Yeah, I didn't think it would be necessary.
Yeah. Not until we decide what we want to. If we decide he's a no-go, there's no reason to do that.
Yeah.
But. Well.
And Philip said plenty, I think, when he described kind of the issues that they had with him.
Yeah, I mean, that was troubling to me, and I thought yeah. it would definitely need to be researched. My thought was maybe we didn't set the parameters as mm-hmm. best mm-hmm. we could, but I was thinking maybe, you know, we be transparent with him and say, you know what, this is what we're seeing right now. Would you like to come back and do another sermon and just see if you can feel comfortable with the things that we're looking for here, or if he'd even be interested in that. I think, like I said, I liked his approach, and Laura's saying, yeah, for the first year, we want to get to know the congregation. They remind me of David and Vicki Bearden when they came here. They made a specific plan. They had everybody in the church into their home for it took them a year. And, you know, I thought, wow, that sounded to me like, you know, somebody who was wanted to come here and get to know the church and create, you know, community. And I thought that sounded pretty good. But I always know after you hire people, you never know exactly what you're getting. And it's tough to tell. So I would have been one to say, let's talk with him more and, you know, see if there's a way to use his talents and abilities, because I really do think there's something there. But if I'm in minority, that's fine.
Well, I appreciate you guys weighing in, because I was thinking of a couple of different paths forward depending on our own assessment, you know. And so since we're overall not terribly positive ourselves, then, you know, I was thinking of a second interview. If we need to bring the congregation along to see what we saw,
or check the references that are available or that, you know, Phil suggested would be a good next step. But that was only if we wanted this guy and there's a disconnect. That's not what I'm hearing. From our own assessment, kind of lines up with the congregation is reinforcing our overall take. Some of them pretty strongly. And I also thought folks were pretty genuine in the effort they put into their response. Yeah. I don't recall this, it seemed like a little less formal, maybe because of the survey thing or something, but for previous candidates, a little more anecdotal feedback. And so, I don't know. From what I'm hearing, and you guys, you know, the summary here would be, I think we move on from John Blackmore. He's got some gifts, but that's not going to be recoverable. Does that make sense to you guys? Or?
It does to me. I think I would like to believe this is what we did. And I think we were searching for a candidate, and we had kind of a profile of the candidate, age-wise and that kind of thing. And I think when we met John, we saw some things in him that were, you know, interesting and appealing from the Zoom. And I think, to my sense, we're trying to be obedient. Well, maybe God is leading. Our vision is not God's vision.
Correct.
You know, so let's change direction here and embrace this. And I saw that as an act of obedience in engaging with John. But now I'm more convicted now that we do want to get a younger person. This, because after pursuing John, and my impression walking away from John is not, he just doesn't seem like the right fit. And part of it is that not just age, it's malleability. You know, is he malleable to really come in and do the things here? And I'm not sure if he is or not, you know? I am that we submitted to what appeared to be maybe God leading us in a different direction. Mm-hmm. We're open to doing that. And but now I'm ready to go back to looking for someone that's a little younger, bring in some different giftedness into the group.
All right, well, thanks for that exercise. That helped me organize.
And I guess I should also say that, you know, I like John, but I don't think he's the perfect fit. And I told a couple of you, you know, I'm praying because my tendency is just I'm sick of this. You know, if he's got a pulse, and so and so when you ask these questions, part of it is you know, let's just do it and get it over with. And so I'm very thankful for you guys just saying, hey, let's trust in God, because it's really hard for me, you know. And again, I know it's for the best, but it's hard.
It reminded me that the value of bringing somebody in the church seeing him.
Right.
That was...
That's what Tim Nicholson told me. He says, shoot, I went to a church for... I grew up in a church and went to church for decades where we changed preachers every 3 or 4 years, and one would just leave and one would show up. You know?
Oh, really?
And he says, yeah. It was just... He says...
Yeah.
You know, he was very grateful for the ability to kind of weigh in. And,
yeah.
Now, Vicki Roberts may leave, and Steve up.
So, and again, Steve made good comments, and they were similar to what Steve Walker made at the last meeting, is in that make sure you're not looking for a unicorn. And Steve, you know, said that about the children's family ministers. And we have to be realistic in our expectations, you know. And I think we are, but
Well, and I think as Matthew Bardwell pointed out, he said the last two candidates, everybody was, you know, ready to hire and unhappy clams, and they didn't think we were fit.
But that wasn't true, though. John Gunter was not.
No,
there were 100%. A lot of negative on that, and there was a lot of negative on Jason as well. And there was a lot of negative on Ethan, if we go back even to the beginning.
But I don't think to the extent we had.
I don't know. I heard some pretty rough stuff on John Gunter. So, I mean.
Well, Gunter would be.
Ethan was that way to begin with. And then we brought him in a second time. And after the second time, it was different. And so the congregation was so much different after the second time because he had a PowerPoint. It's like, okay, so that's the only thing that was different about him. His sermon was just as boring, but he had a PowerPoint, and it kept people engaged. So, I mean, it's...
Yeah. I mean, I think this was much more pointed.
It seemed like
much more people responded.
Yeah. A clearer
way. And I think out of it, I think a lot of them responded out of feeling like we better respond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And let people afraid we weren't going to hire him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know. But I think the process is good. And I think it's new for us. It's new for the church. And I think they're engaging in it, you know.
Yeah. And so Ross is – so just – I told you that I sort of – Ross and I had a breakfast the other day. So the one thing that he had told me to begin with was that when they got to lunch after – it was Ross's family, his parents, and then John and Laura had – joined them. I don't think anybody else from the clan had joined, just those. And Ross's parents, Laura, and Ross all complained that was way too long. that was the one thing that they told him. They're like, and it's like, no, it was okay. The Spirit was leading. So that was his comment back, which is what he had told us too. But the fact is that all of them felt it was long. And Ross is like, If you lose people at the 20 minute mark, and you keep going to 30 minutes, you can usually keep a couple of them. But once you get past that 30 minute mark, you're just people are just falling off like flies, and that's where Ross. That was only Ross's only comment. So he was not necessarily positive towards hiring him. I don't know if he would. He may have other feelings towards it differently, but. But that was one of the mean things that he took away, that it's just like he's not reading the room. And so that was...
Spread, the all of his family being there was really an obstacle. Yeah. It didn't work well because, I mean, Laura was trying to get around to all the family and talk and everything. Yeah. And that's why I said I was open to saying, let's give him a second chance and see if there's anything here that we could, you know, pull back in. But...
That would be the suggestion, not to invite your family.
You know, I was one of the things I was most impressed from John and Laura were there were people there from Illinois that were he coached in basketball 15 years ago or whatever, and they came over to see the coach. Mm-hmm. That was one of the most impressive things about it with me.
Two girls that I think he had, I forget how, in his youth group when he was first a youth
minister. Mm-hmm.
That he baptized 20 years ago, or 30 years ago.
Yeah. Now, and I wonder if he would have just gone 20, 25 minutes and had it condensed in a better experience, how things would have gone. But no point in wasting our time with that.
Personally, I don't know. Bringing them back, I don't know what that message that sends to the congregation when we've asked them.
Yeah.
For their response, they've given us their response, and I don't know what that tells us. I don't know what that's saying to them.
Well, I'm saying let's be transparent. Let's put those, not with names perhaps, but you know, these are things that people said that were positive, and here's things that other people were negative. Let you know.
I think a lot of the stuff that people said was he's just not the right guy, and bringing him a second time would almost ignore. Listening, hearing what people said there.
A lot of them were saying, I don't think he's the right guy.
And they said, a nice guy.
A lot of them, and they said,
very personable, but just not our.
You know, they had seen enough
to
make a decision in their mind. And then for us to say, well, we want to change your mind, we're going to bring you back.
Yeah, I don't think those people are on the fence. And so,
no.
Right, and so if they were on the fence, yeah, let's bring it back. But I don't get the sense that they.
Yeah, it would be like we ignored what they even said.
Yeah.
But if we were convicted, I think that would be appropriate. hey, we need to show the congregation what we see in this guy. And he would deserve that as opposed to trust us, here he comes. He would deserve better than that if we were convicted. So,
and part of mine too is I did not hear in the sermon the things that some of the other people heard, you know, as far as I did hear his comment about women that I think troubled some people, obviously. But the comment about cultural Christianity and I mean, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed usually and pretty naive, but I didn't hear something there that offended me, but obviously there was a group of people that, that did, you know? And those are good observations, you know?
And it also communicates to us why people like being a part of McKnight Crossing, because some of the things that they value are happening or are aspirational here. And they don't want those things to not to be attainable, right? And they see John as a person that those things could potentially be, you know, go away. And so I think it helps us understand a little bit too about why people have planted flags here. And if we ignore the reason why they planted flags here, it's also communication to them that maybe I planted my flag in the wrong place. You know, and so, and if people say John is not the person that can continue to, you know, breathe life into why I'm here, so maybe if you guys are seeing something differently, I may need to be looking somewhere else. And so, that was helpful to me to really see some of those things that people wrote, because you never really know. I always wonder, why are they here? What is it? You know?
Yeah.
Well, they express that in their writings of some of the things that caused them to want to be a part of this group. And so,
good points.
It was interesting, though, that, you know, some of the people that I thought wouldn't like him did. I appreciated Jason Vincent saying, you know, he trusts us, you know, to make the decision that's best for the church. It was, I was impressed by that. And then Matthew Bardawell beat it right to me and said, he's the wrong guy, you know. I was kind of shocked when he said it.
I thought,
you know, not everybody's going to be a professor, you know. And sure, we'd love to have N.T. Wright as, you know, somebody to preach 20 minutes on every Sunday morning. And, you know, but, you know, the guy, I think, like I said, I had a positive feeling just thinking there's some talent there that could be immediately plugged right in for things that we desperately need. So,
yeah, I can also say the staff was not excited. Elizabeth was a solid no. The other two say they're leaning no, and so that's another consideration to think about. Is that?
And so what was Elizabeth's big hang up, you think?
She said the dynamics between Laura and John was off-putting. She, at our dinner, she interrupted him a lot and jumped in, and so that was part of it. And she, Jeff, you remember some of the other things? I'm just
so,
trying to think.
I'll tell you my read on it. So before he came, she had already made her decision that she didn't want him to be here because he's old. And that was what she, because she had seen his resume, she had saw clips of him, and that was number one on her list after the fact too. And then the interaction, I mean, there's no question. So, I mean, I was at that meal and I know exactly, I feel with her and know that there were several things that happened at that meal, and even after. So Laura calmed down.
She calmed down here.
So what you guys had seen, in the elders thing, she was much different.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah,
she was.
Yes, she was. She was hyped on Friday.
Friday was completely different story.
Yeah.
He could not get a word in at times.
Really?
Yeah. So, but I think it's all nerves. There's no question. That was interview number one.
Yeah.
But it was bad because Elizabeth was sitting there, and Elizabeth will catch that. And so that was what she caught really quick. And there were things that both of them had done later on in the interview that really bothered her. So Steve had mentioned that his sister had just been taken to the hospital, and they heard it, and they just went off and told some funny story. Hmm. And so that really bothered her. So I think that before anything else had happened, she didn't, I don't think she was even listening to the sermon. I don't think that was even, because I think she was in the nursery during the sermon, and I bet she never even listened to it.
She said she listened to it on the way to Chicago, or an air.
Took her the whole way.
Yeah.
No, and Eric had the same, I think Eric had the same opinion beforehand too, that he's too old without listening. And so to a point they started out that way, but the thing is that she didn't get won over by their presence. Mm-hmm. And so, which what it could have, I mean, it could have happened, but.
Yeah.
Okay. I knew this would take a long time.
Yeah. So what's our next steps?
Yeah, that's a good question.
With them, and then we got two others dangling out there.
Yeah.
It seems to me we move forward with the two candidates.
I thought we had one.
Two.
Who?
Chris and Andrew. Ace.
I thought we said no to the one.
So there is the guy at Harding. We've had two online interviews with. And so he's probably ready for an invitation if we're ready for that, or if we think that's a go. And then there's another person who's had one online interview, and he's ready for a second that we all participate in. And he's local.
Right.
And so we're Chris, likely, assuming he does well, it feels like we're likely to invite both of those guys close together as our next wave.
So I thought Chris was the Mr. Rogers guy. Isn't he the guy that's just real mellow? I thought we said no to him.
No, I don't think we ever did.
Okay. So there was the thought, so that was what you had pushed, that we should just say no to him and not push forward. And then it was decided to do a second interview. So, and then that happened with, I don't know who was on the interview, but, and then you had come over and said, you even told me, I think, that you liked him better after the second interview.
Yeah,
I liked him better, but I still don't think he's a preacher.
No. Yeah, so I mean, that's all that you told me, that you liked him after the second interview better.
Yeah.
But, and so I mean, I think I feel almost like Brett to a point that I would not see him going any further. Even though, I mean, he's an okay candidate, but I don't think he's going to be any different than Ethan on that mellowness. And he's different. He's a different person. He has a different, he's more of a counseling kind of person. So, but I don't know how that would interfere with his work that we're trying to get him to do here. And so.
After this past interview, I wondered, I wonder how people would respond to him. And I wasn't negative or positive, just wondering how people would react to him coming in for an interview.
I listened to his sermon, and I came away with, it was 30 minutes or whatever, but I felt it was a lot of reputation. I mean, looking back on it, I could think that what he covered, he could have covered in 10 minutes, but it just was kind of over and over and over again, the same thing, and not that. So I walked away thinking, again, I wasn't in on either of the interviews, but I just thinking that it was not what I would say would be a powerful sermon.
I agree with that. I had trouble being, engaging with this sermon, but I was wondering if he has something more recent, because I think those are at least 3 years old. And has he evolved? I would like to ask him, we've looked at some of the sermons on your website. Do you have anything that's more recent within the last 6 months? So we can see if he's a different person. He's been through some stuff, and sometimes when you go through some stuff, that can help reshape you in terms of your messaging. So I don't know about the way, what I heard from the sermons is not very powerful or overwhelming, something that I would say, let's bring him in. But if he's evolved, he has a lot to work with in terms of his preparation. Can he put that all together in terms of being a good preacher? I don't know, but I would like to at least ask that question, you know, something more recent than 3 years ago.
So the thing I think about that 3 years is that this is what he has on his public facing. It's his own personal website. So he's thinking, this is my best. Right. And it's not like that we go to some church website and we just can listen through lots of different, like John's, and still hear the same thing. But it's that whole thing that this is what, I mean, I know because that's the way I built my website.
Yeah.
I put my best sermons on there and mm-hmm. hope that they like them or knew they liked them.
Yeah, that could be. So. That could be his best.
And I got a text from Shane Hines. He's the minister at O'Fallon Church. He was he went out there bivocational, and then he wanted to do full time. He did full time and needed to go back bivocational to make more money to help with the family. And that's where he's at now. And they just hired a full time guy as an associate minister of mm-hmm. youth and stuff. And that's all the history. That,
okay.
But he said, hey. Are you guys still looking for someone? I said, yep. He said, can we talk about maybe might be possibly putting my name in a hat? Mm-hmm. He didn't say it that way, but that's mm-hmm. what he meant.
Okay.
I said, give me 2 weeks. I'll mm-hmm. ask you. And he asked, well, why wait 2 weeks? I said, well, we got something in the hopper now. And,
well, I can't help but question, you know, when he was here and you're supposed to teach a class, and the next thing Jeff Kreider got was a memo saying, you know, oh, by the way, I'm now moving out here, and, you know, it was kind of like left this high and dry, and,
yeah.
You know, I have a problem with that.
Yeah.
I don't see that person leading this church, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm feeling probably the same way.
Okay.
But I'm open.
I think we're all going to have to buckle down and maybe have to wait on the Lord a bit.
Mm-hmm. So,
much as I hate to say that. Mm-hmm. Like,
So Nathan and I had several long conversations about this. And so he's a big proponent of Andrew. Mm-hmm. So Andrew is at Vaughn Hill. He's been there doing anything and everything for the last 11, 12 years, I think.
14.
Oh, 14, you're right. Yeah. Yeah, so 14 years at Vaughn Hill, and he fills in, does whatever he needs to do yeah. all the time. He has a young family, so he's a bit older than the other candidates that we had. But he's around Jason's age. He's around that 40-ish.
Is he that old? I'm saying yeah. 36, 37.
So you think 14 years in ministry, yeah. you're already yeah, right about that 40 mark. So he's right that late 30s, early 40s. I think we should probably start moving towards the second interview really quick. Mm-hmm. He's not looking necessarily,
yeah.
but it doesn't mean that he's not going to start.
He just said he felt the Holy Spirit told him to apply for the job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
what's
his
last name?
Owens.
Owens. Yeah. And he has put up with a whole lot at that church, just to be frank. And he's dealt with it and moved on. He got there. I think he was there with Mark Moran. Mark Moran left, and so it was for a couple of years he was there, and then they brought in Brian Magnuson, and he's worked with Brian. And I get the sense Brian would be pretty demanding sometimes of things from him.
You know, Brian wouldn't qualify in my book to yeah. minister, but
and,
just for the record.
Yeah, and so, and then when I went back and watched his sermon, I was pretty impressed, and I wasn't expecting to be impressed. But and he's a good servant, good guy, good family guy.
What's his first name? Andrew.
Andrew Owens.
Yeah. So Andrew was I thought he was the only viable candidate, and I did like him, and I thought he'd be good to bring back in. Mm-hmm. And I'll bring this up again. I don't know if I brought this up before, but it keeps coming into my head, Jeremy Picker. So I don't know if
gets out of your head.
Okay. No, okay. I'll get it out of my head.
All of the staff would leave.
Okay. I will cross him off.
Maybe Steve yeah. and I would say, but yeah. okay. we would struggle.
So it's down to Andrew.
Yeah, so I would say that that would be one of the things we just start pushing to get that second interview. And okay. I mean, I don't know how quick we could bring him in, but I mean, because there's a lot of things going on in the next month. But
so back to John Blackmore. Let's okay. let's figure that out. Next step.
Let's take a vote.
Okay. We voting whether to continue with John or discontinue with John, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All those that feel like we need to continue with John, see a vote, a raise hand. All those that think we need to discontinue with John, raise your hand. Okay. All right. So, voted. So, what's that look like?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I would really like to try to find an encouraging way and somewhat transparent. I mean, he deserves to know some insight and not just a not a good fit kind of a language.
I like the GPT.
Well, I was going to say what I really
oh, so
like.
It is.
But wait, well, what you do is I drafted it and I had it edited. And I do like the way that it lays that out.
I'm not saying send him a letter. I'm saying
right.
Yeah.
But talk to him. But that would
I would say both. Yeah. Talk to him and send him a letter, but yeah, either way. But I think it's still encouraging.
Yeah, Chat GPT or whatever it's called.
And then there's one similar for the congregation, although that should be something in the bulletin, but also from the pulpit.
And then, and I think maybe it'd be good those people that were really positive. Just a couple of them. There's the Steve Hopps and.
The Roberts.
The who?
Vicky, Vicky Roberts.
Vicky Roberts. Maybe Tim Jason Nicholson. Vincent.
Me.
Tim Nicholson.
Yeah. Be sure to send Dave the letter.
Just to kind of let him know. Just give him, make a phone call.
Well, there's a lot of older people that,
Well, this was clearly along the age line.
No question,
It's an important observation.
So did the Williffords respond?
I didn't see anything.
I sent him an email asking him, and he never responded. Yeah, I tried poking a lot of people, and he didn't respond.
Well, I like your idea of if Andrew's the best choice right now, let's get it going.
Well, back to John.
Yes.
Focus.
I thought we just settled it.
No.
I'm trying to push this along here.
No, yeah. Well, I appreciate that, but let's accomplish something here.
What are we going to say and who's going to say it? That's we've got to figure out.
He deserves a phone call, not a letter, and I don't want to do that, but I have in mind what I hope happens during that conversation, so I would be willing to make that phone call.
Yeah.
Great, thank you.
John, I wanted you, but the other guys didn't. Yeah.
I'm only one vote.
And I think that after you call him, I think Ross probably needs to be talked to about this as well. And I don't think he needs all the information, but, you don't need to hear this from your uncle. Here's what we decided. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, he needs all the details, but... I think he needs to know.
So I'll be with him on Thursday morning, as long as I have a car to get to up there. So I could talk to him about it. I would also say if you could pass me and Ross the surveys, because that we were kept out of that, and I think that would give him a better feel about it, just in general, because I don't think he was positive about him being here. So I think that he was on the other side. Which I think that would help him to better see why things went the other direction.
So my thought on that is, and I'm not against it, but I'm trying to protect Ross as well. So his uncle's going to say, you know, what happened? Give me the details.
Right.
And it's like, as much as we can not get Ross in the middle of this, because he should be in the middle. So my thought, been thinking about that we'll just tell Ross pretty much what that's in that letter, and if John wants to talk, just give us a call. We'll or you know, whatever those details are. So that, I mean,
and I think that information's plenty for Ross. I think he'd be satisfied with just that.
Yeah.
Did you, Aretha, does that give you like a starting
point? I'm going to take this with me just because it's helpful. It works.
Take this one too. That's what generated for the family, for the church.
Oh,
so,
okay.
But I think it, somehow being very truthful about, you know, we did seek input and these are the general areas that there were concerns or whatever, however we want to put it. But I
who's up next Sunday?
I am.
Okay. Yeah. Good.
Yeah,
Steve, you always been there.
And the theme is
Steve's always fall.
And the theme is good news.
Okay, so
will that be okay? You doing it as, and then you're also doing part of the sermon, so to speak.
That's a good question.
Think about that, okay, and if you need something. Now I'll call.
Here's the rest of that. Andrew, he sent, I think.
Chris Jackson.
Oh, he put it all into the chat.
To tell him.
Give me a summary.
Thanks. No, thanks. Any good wordage I can use with him?
Okay. That's what. Run the GPT.
Do what?
Run the GPT.
Yeah. Right.
I'll look. And I think for the Shane thing, I don't. I think we should pass on him. I mean, it doesn't seem like, you know, we've got a hot lead there, so I don't know if you need to call him or if he just said, hey, throw my hat in.
Yeah.
Hat, right?
But. Well, I would hate to discourage him. If he wanted to, he could apply and then.
Right.
You guys would interview or would you have to recuse yourself?
I'd probably, just like I did with Andrew, right. I would probably recuse myself for the first, at least for the first Zoom. Okay.
So, like I said, but, I wouldn't even waste the time.
That's kind of where I'm at.
I don't even know the guy, so I don't know.
So Shane, I know him some, a little bit here, from here and there in camp and different places. So I thought he was full-time hired out at
He was,
and he quit. Is that what you're saying?
He was, and then he felt like he needed to go back and managing with the leaf filter thing. Well, I think he first went out there and he was working with the leaf filter and working part time. Then he really felt like he needed to go all in.
Full time.
So he did that, but then just did not have, enough money to be able to put money away for retirement, and so then he went back to that full time, and so now he's, I guess, thinking about leaving O'Fallon and finding another. And knew we were looking.
So I can reach out to Andrew. I had already reached out to him and told him what was going on, that we had a candidate in for the weekend, and we were going to work through that process and then get back with him. And so I can reach out to him and set up a second interview if that's where you guys want to go with that.
Okay. And I'll call Chris and let him know that we're, I don't know how to say it with encouraging news.
I like Chris too. Person. So, hey, there's still the Matheny's. I mean, they're.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We still got to talk with them.
Yeah, we still got to figure out.
He was just getting back. Or he's getting back today.
Today,
So maybe next week or so we can fill them out.
But I thought they were trying to decide if they were going to put their name in the hat.
Right.
That was their.
I think one of the things that the way I understood it is that they wanted to wait until Philip came back from Africa, and then they were open to looking at the job description, and then kind of dividing up the responsibilities between the two of them. And then getting back with us and talking about that. That's what I know. Sarah was really enthusiastic. Really, she was seemed to be more enthusiastic than Philip about the role. But that was my understanding.
Yeah, that they were open to looking at it, and they were going to pray about it and see if that would be something they could do.
It would be a change of direction for them.
Yeah.
And so I appreciated their transparency and it's not something that they were starting to get excited about, it would be like, wow, humbly, well, would God really want us to do that? Because they've kind of got a path that's working very well for them.
Yeah.
And yeah. And the notion of we'd be hiring a three-quarter full-time staff, and we'd be hiring both of them, they've kind of made that clear in some form. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want to push that direction.
Okay.
But I guess if they came back and said, guess what revelation we've gotten from the Holy Spirit, then let's keep talking. Mm-hmm. But I don't want us to say, we're so behind you, keep thinking, keep praying. I don't want us to push.
Yeah.
It is my take on where they are. I don't know that they have gifts as well, no doubt. Mm-hmm. But
that'd be interesting.
That's just not the... That's a very different, just like an older candidate was out of the box, they would be out of the box for what I thought we were going to end up with. And again, I want to be humble and open, so but I don't want to push for, oh, that's weird, let's do weird. Okay, to be honest.
And on that, and I said it before, is we would have to change our current position. So currently we... say that we're not ready for a woman in that role. And so I think it would be unwise to push for that until we resolve that ourselves. I mean, if he says, yeah, this is something we'd like to do, I think, okay, let's, we'd have to tell him, well, the elders have to get together and pray and study about this, and then before we even move on that one.
You've been patient. You got something you wanted to chime in.
So the other thing is that we have two openings right now. So... because you're hiring two people for one role, I wonder how much of the extra time that they would have as two FTE.
No, it would be one FTE.
Well, you would have two, the way that they're talking about it. But so I'm just saying that the one FTE that they're hiring, that we're hiring two people to fill that one, is probably more time than one FTE, really. So you're maybe getting 1.5. And I wonder if you were to put the children's ministry role or the children and family into that and say, because I know that they have experience in it. That's what they did in Paducah for years.
That was her major, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And so you're getting these and they can do that role possibly as well. So I'm just thinking FTE kinds of things. So I'm, right. And that's how it fits. So, I mean, you hire two people for one role that he's giving 75% to. So based on what he had said, I think 75 is what he had said. The 25 was the missions. So plus then you have her, that she's being the other part of it, but that she's not doing 25%. So you'd have to get her to do a little bit more than 25%. And then that would be that other part that you're talking about before, about children's ministry not needing really a full FTE. Just if we're just taking the cards up and throwing them up and seeing where they land.
I like your thought process as a in the realm of possibility, realistic, you know, wow, that could actually work. And then is that what God wants? But
correct.
That actually fits better in my mind than working it out for those two to be doing all of the lead minister job description in one way or another.
There's another piece I think we're forgetting is they've got some sort of, at least to me, unknown relationship with New City Church, right?
That's why I was never on board with even us even talking to them, because they are there more than they're here, because their kids prefer to be there, and so I mean that's one of the struggles that they've had. I know Philip goes to your guys' group usually when he's in town, and. But it's still, that's a big piece of their life. But there's lots of places that are big pieces of their life. They're in Paducah almost more than they're here, because that's where they have so many family ties and so much, they grew up there.
Well, so, I think they know that would all change if they accepted this position.
Correct, yeah.
Well, and I'm just saying that because I think that weighs to the point that I just don't, like, I mean, that would be, considering what they've got with Sheltering Wings and,
Just a long shot. It's just a long shot.
I
think so.
I mean, don't know how God works. I mean, we know how God works, but
who knows, but
yeah,
this is one that I don't think it, somebody's already said it, I don't think it's something that they're considering because it's something that came into their mind that they'd like to do. They're considering it because we've asked them to consider it.
Yeah.
But they're going to lay it down aside beside all these things that they're currently doing. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying it's seems to me to be a long shot.
Yeah.
Not that we should do it, but I just...
So it'd be a big surprise if they come back and say,
yeah, yeah.
And she was here this week.
Yes, she was.
Which... Usually the weeks that he's out of town, she doesn't go anywhere. She usually, they all stay home and pray. And so it was interesting seeing them here.
Okay. Well, next.
Yeah, see, I told you guys we didn't need anything else on the agenda. Okay, John Blackmore's taken care of. We've got a plan for the other...
For Andrew and Chris.
Give me till noon Wednesday to talk to John before okay. you guys publicize anything.
Okay.
I know my Wednesday night group is going to be curious, so I want to be ready to tell them that it's not going to come together.
Yeah.
If you and guys you'll make the announcement
Sunday.
Sunday, yeah.
Well, if you let it known on Wednesday night, it'll already be known.
It will.
Well, I don't have to bring it up till Sunday either.
No,
I just know,
no.
you know.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
And are we good with me telling Ross on Thursday morning?
Yeah. And I'll call Chris Jackson and let him know that we're looking elsewhere. And then you're going to call Andrew about a second. And then also, I don't know what to do about Shane. He's told him to give me 2 weeks. I'll see what happens and transpires in 2 weeks. I can say, well, you can apply if you want.
Yeah.
So...
Okay.
I'll wait 2 weeks.
Okay. Suzanne Kelby's prison walk request.
Yeah. Yeah, so she approached me yesterday and asked kind of, you know, about next steps with the prison walk. And I told her we were meeting this evening and I would get back with her. I don't have a problem with it. I know there's a number of families in the congregation that's had experience with the penal system, and it can be, my family has as well, it can be extremely dysfunctional with families, and prison walk is one of those things that's trying to provide some stability for families, and so, and I already connected it to one of our values, and so spiritually healthy families are one of our values, and so I don't see it being something that's out of...
So what she's requesting is just to announce that this walk is coming?
And- yes, announce it's coming, and she's the contact person. But in the bulletin, announcement, in the bulletin, and maybe announcements.
I have no problem with it. It's a great ministry.
I appreciate, Brett, your comments on this because it struck me that this is kind of like Boy Scouts. You know, we've had Boy Scout troops here, but we've never pushed it as part as, you know, Boy Scouts are part of the church. You know, it to me, this is kind of one of these good things, but it's not... something that, you know, we're pushing here for people to sign up necessarily. It's for people that, you know, have needs or whatever. And I think it's a lot safer to, you know, stay with our current values and just say, this is really great, you know, if people want to join, that's great, but we're not going to advertise this from the pulpit because it's a separate group of people that, you know, have this good intention, but there's a lot of good intentions out there. And so the next person comes along and says, well, I've got this group of people. And now we got, you know, and it happens that way. It just really spreads that everybody wants their shtick to be announced from the pulpit. And I'm saying we just need to keep our eyes on, you know, Jesus and focus on that and move on. Because if we start getting sucked into this, you know, to me, it's almost like our benevolence program where, you know, we start fixing cars and people hear it and all of a sudden we got everybody's got a broken car and we want to fix it, you know. I don't see that as being the benevolent program that we're pushing. So that's my two cents for what it's worth.
I don't, this is not like the Boy Scouts, I don't think. I mean, this is directed towards an oppressed people. And I think... it's an opportunity for people to
do something good, you know, if they want. I mean, not everybody has to do that.
Right.
So, and this is one of our members who's very involved in it, would like to just make the rest of the membership aware of an opportunity if they wanted to.
They should tell members about it, but announcing it from the pulpit just...
So the question is it going to be a pulpit announcement or is it going to be a bulletin announcement?
It was a bulletin.
It's a bulletin announcement.
Yeah, and so that's completely different in my mind because I would almost say we should have no announcements at church because it's a time of worship as opposed to just a time of announcing. But if it's in the bulletin, at least for me, that's a completely different picture to a point. Because we announce CFS, we announce everything else.
So my thought was that, again, I said there's two reservations. One is I had no idea what this was. And so it's the name of an organization, so I got no idea what they believe in, right? So, you know, is it politically related? I don't know. So and then I got to do research, and I'm, you know, spending 20 minutes reading through these pages. Okay, I think I understand what this is, and it seems benign. But, you know, to say, yeah, we'll do that, and it's like, well, without it knowing what it is. And it sounds like some of you guys did, but, you know, it should be, you know, Suzanne wants to do this. I've got, I've worked with this organization before. Here's their website. You know, they seem to be on board with what we've got. That's fine. And so I just want to be careful on what we put in there because, you know, some of these organizations, they have a good sounding name, but, you know, they maybe have some beliefs that are totally contrary to what we believe. And the other is, so several years ago, Maria Holmes wanted to sell books in our lobby, and she sold books in our lobby. And, you know, you just don't want that, right? And so, you know, this isn't a community bulletin board. It's not just, you know, hey, you know, even that couch thing, I didn't like that. We got a couch to get rid of, you know.
Why didn't you like that?
Well, not in church. I mean, to Jeff's point.
Oh, I walked in there.
It just seemed like a garage sale.
We can give it away. We can just give it away to St. Vincent's. Yeah. But if someone in the body needs it, why not give them an opportunity to have it? I mean, I can't go around to everybody in the body and say, you need a couch, you need a couch. Right. So it's better if we do a public announcement, and if someone needs it, let them say, I can use it. If no one comes to me by Friday, well, then it's going to go to St. Vincent. But I think the body, someone in the body should have an opportunity to have something before we just give it out to St. Vincent.
And I don't say that that's bad, but then somebody says, hey, I'm getting rid of some kids' clothes. Can you make an announcement about that? Or I'm doing this. And so where you draw those lines, I don't know.
It's church property. The couch is church property. Kids' clothes belongs to you. So it's church property, and so we're saying this is church property. We want to make it available to our members.
Right, and so, with that limitation, it's just I don't want our bulletin to turn into that. And again, that's just my cautions. I'm not saying don't do it, but that's just my cautions on it.
I don't know if Suzanne is asking to use the building at all, since the walk will be immediately across the street. You know, gather here. She really didn't elaborate on that. No. And so as far as we know, it doesn't include that, but we might as well draw lines where we're comfortable if it evolves into that. You know, I mean, they're good stewards of the building, and if there's a gathering here in bathrooms before they start the walk or...
That's great. That's what our building's for.
That's what this is for.
So parking and building, I mean, we want people in here, you know, so... Okay. I'm okay with that.
Just don't give them a key.
Yeah.
We got to change the code on the door, too, so that's a lot. Too many people have that code.
Anybody else? What do we do? Who else? I mean, does anybody else have a problem with a bulletin announcement that Suzanne Kelbleys just wants to announce the
arranging up there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and again, I was thinking, I don't know if you want to say, avoid using proper nouns and just say, you know, Suzanne's going to be walking in Tilly's and praying about the prisons, you know, in the area. And, you know, if you want to join her in that or want more information about it, talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
So not put the organization in there?
Well, I mean, I think you guys seem to know the organization. I read up as much as I could, and it seemed okay, but I haven't fully vetted it. And it... Yeah. You know, the name of the organization, I don't know, is the important thing. I think the important thing is Susan's going to be walking and praying for the prisons. So,
other than it's organized through them,
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So maybe putting that as Suzanne is doing the prayer walk with prison, or somehow prison wet walk in there.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
The name is helps people understand where this is coming from. Yeah.
Okay. Have we done enough on the building leaks? I mean, we've got a path forward for there. Faith in Action, I think.
You're going to take care of it.
Steve and I can take care of that, and I think we'll just contact some of the widows to see if they need anything. And
we'll need to start pushing people to sign up so we know how many are going to do it. However, we did it last time.
If you can give me the details, I'll set up a sign-up for it,
okay.
And we can have papers out on Sunday.
Okay.
It's April the
6th. And we'll provide lunch for them before they go out. Yeah.
Are you guys going to do the fence? I mean, you don't have to. I just didn't know if I should.
That's a possibility.
Okay.
We're going to see. I would say the priority would be the widows, and if we an overflow, we can do that, and then he and I will get the materials and everything for that.
Update on the children and family minister search.
Okay, so I think the last thing we had on the table is that I was to call her and talk to her about the center documents on what we believe in gender summary. And in the course of our conversation, something came up in terms of, you know, where she was on her journey with the women's role. And so we added another piece of information that we provided for was Melanie's sermon, into Melanie's sermon. So we did that on Monday, sent that to her on Monday. Thursday, she called back, responded, ready to move forward with taking those next steps, reconnecting. And so we had a Zoom, myself, Jason, and Melanie on Saturday with her. And she had, I changed a couple things on the gender document because it referenced the gym. So I took stuff out that referenced the gym.
I took that out. I changed all that. So there's a second document that I changed all that. So.
Okay. Well, when I pulled the document, it was...
Well, it depends on the version. So I have the original out there still, and then there's the second that has all those changes.
Okay. So I just... Well, I need to get a copy of yours.
Okay.
So I just made it relevant to who we are today. So and so I sent that to her. Can you
tell me what you sent her? Do you have a copy of that?
Yeah, I'll send it to you. Okay. She had no questions about that at all.
It was funny, her question. I liked it.
Yeah, so I was assuming that was going to be what we talked most about in our conversation, but there wasn't any questions about that at all. She was, as a matter of fact, she's in the process of reading John Mark Hicks' book. What is the title? Let's see. Women Serving God. And so she's at a pretty good place there. She's on a journey, but she's at a pretty good place, I think. She had a question about what we believe. You know, it was like she was looking for some specifics to Acts 2:38 about baptism. Hey, she said, there wasn't anything in your statement about baptism being forgiveness or for remission of sin. So it wasn't any direct language like that in there. So we talked a little bit about how we had kind of structured that part into the document. She was okay with that. And she had a couple of things that she really pointed out she liked about it. You know, priesthood of all believers. She was like, hey, I can really relate to that because as a minister, you know, we all are priesthood of all believers. And so not just the ministers and elders. And she also, instrumental music wasn't a problem. She said, I prefer acapella, but, you guys said that it's not required to have instrumental music, but it's something that's preference and allowed. And she said, I don't have a problem with that because I don't know of any place in the New Testament that prohibited instrumental music. And she said, even in the Old Testament, if God didn't want it, he would not have, you know, been okay with them using instruments in worship. So now we're at the next steps point to where we're checking references. And Dave, MOU, I think.
Yeah, I need to draft document related to that.
Okay. So we're gonna check references, and Steve's actually agreed to reach out to Walnut Church, her prior employer, and she gave us names of the elders that were over the program, so we'll be able to talk directly to them and see what they will be willing to share. And so that's where we are now. And so if the references look clean and the MOU is something that works for both of us, well, the next step would be to invite her in. So that's where we stand with that.
That's exciting.
Any thoughts, questions, comments?
No, I was you know, watching the Zoom, and I was just laughing at myself because I thought she'd be all over the ladies.
Me too.
She didn't have an issue with that. It's like, geez, what's this? You guys didn't talk about repentance and you know, all that stuff. So, well, it's just overly implied. So. So that was good.
So, Jeff, you mentioned that you weren't a fan.
Yeah, my biggest concern I have is we have it as C and FM, and I see her as a children's minister, and I don't see her as a family minister. She is very adamant about that even. That she can't talk in front of people. She said that in her interview, like in front of adults. And being a family ministry means that you have to be sort of out front, I think, in my picture of what the family ministry is. It's not just somebody in the back coordinating all the events. And I would be afraid of hiring somebody that is just a coordinator for a ministry position.
I think she would be a teacher as well.
But that's not what I said. I said family. So she said she would not teach adults.
So, but she didn't say she would not work with parents to help them.
She was pretty clear about that.
No, Jeff. She said she would be able to work with parents. She looked at it as part of her role, working with parents in terms of helping their children with their spiritual formation. She didn't. She don't like public speaking. Now, she definitely said, I don't like public speaking. But engaging with parents and helping them along the journey.
But that's still children's ministry, though. Mm-hmm. That's still children's ministry. So family ministry, the picture that you guys gave us of family ministry was getting families involved in being part of the congregation in doing events that favored families over children events. And that's where, at least my memory. So, and I think we can get the website out and see that's the way it was toned, as opposed to just focusing just on children.
I think the family ministry part of it is definitely helping parents in terms of this with the children's spiritual formation, walking with the parents, but also as parents are going through the different phases of life, you know, also providing resources for the parents, you know, they're going through the different phases of life. Well, she's not going to be able to provide that right now. So that's an honest assessment. She can't provide that right now. So, but can she make our children's ministry and parents put them in a place where they can succeed and be better? I think she can. I think that part she can do.
And tap on shoulders of people that can help her do that, that have had the experience.
And she's going to need some deficit. She's going to need some mentoring. She's very open to it. I think it's one of our strengths. I think we have that to offer her. If we were a congregation that didn't really prefer to do those things, I don't think it would be a good fit for her. But the people on the committee, they see her here potentially.
Good.
Jeff, I think you make some good points and expectations, and the on-site interview will be a great opportunity to drill into
some of those. Yeah.
The memorandum is where I'm also concerned about. If we're putting that into the memorandum that we expect these things, that's where we should figure out how that's...
It's not like having a Jeremiah around where you can throw him in the pulpit and greet people and so on. So
yeah, she's not that. I mean, okay. He was unique.
And he was hired as just the children's minister.
He actually helped us to see that the role can be broader.
Yeah.
You know, what he brought in.
And it can grow into that, you know. Anybody coming in is going to have to grow into it.
Yeah. I think so. I think.
And your committee are pretty confident in her.
Good. Yeah. Yeah.
So thanks for the point, though. I think that's good to keep weighing that. And then there was we had a lead minister candidate that we said no after, but he's on the CFS board and he's a local.
Oh, yeah.
I,
Josh.
No.
Is it
Michael?
Michael
Wumble. Wumble.
Wumble. Oh, yeah, oh. Michael Wumble.
And so, he's on CFS board. Okay.
Yes.
And I felt like, okay, he's not going to be a lead candidate, but he's local, and I wonder if he'd be a good family minister and could do the coordinating of the children. It's almost backing into what we're talking about now. And I don't know if that door has been formally closed.
I think that he was proposed earlier. I don't know.
And I don't know how big his family is and if what we've got in the budget is going to, you know, support a primary breadwinner for an entire family, but okay. I just wanted to, as we consider this candidate, I didn't know the status of that one, but I was remembering him as
That's a good memory there.
I think,
and we kind of even left it at that. Mm-hmm. Said maybe not this role, but maybe another role.
Okay.
But so, all right.
Jeff, you had another hospitality. Do you have anything specifically
for you? No, so I just wanted to follow up on that. I know last time we just chit-chatted a bit at the end, but I figured we need to be more intentional, I think, because that's something that if we told the congregation about, I've been asked a couple of times by different people, is this happening? I'm like, I don't know.
The elders.
Steve had announced to the to the thing. I wasn't even there, so
we
I don't know why they're asking me.
Last meeting we went around, just said how that was going, and it wasn't going much, to be honest.
Yeah.
So just want to remind everybody to, and I'd encourage you to do like what Susan and I are doing. You know, we're not doing it ourselves. We got Kay and Marion doing it, and it's great. We're doing March, the first weekend of April, because we couldn't get us all together. Just to encourage you guys to find another couple or something, just to do it together. It takes the burden off of one person to do that. So how's it going?
We had a laid a ham with us this past week.
Oh yeah.
That was nice.
We all feel the shame, and we'll
keep shaming us, though.
Yeah. So I think that should be something that should be on here every time.
I agree.
So if we committed to it, then we commit to it. And so I know that Fogarty and us had planned to last year, and we did it a couple times with a couple different people. And so we've got together this week and chatted about it again. But finding time is the big thing. And so it's just making it consistent, I think. Which, if we're good moving to the next one, I'll drive that into it. So all of these came from me. So the next one is a fellowship meal. So we've not had a fellowship meal since Jeff's leaving, really. Mm. We've had some different events. So we had the variety show, which was sort of like fellowship, but different. This is something that Elizabeth had asked me about, if we're planning any. So the thought would be maybe in April sometime to try to throw one on the calendar. That gives us just trying for everybody to be around, everybody to be participants in it.
Are you talking about a Sunday potluck?
A Sunday potluck kind of thing is what that would be. Just so that we can, if we're not doing everybody in our house.
But no, or we need to do
that. We need to do that too. Yeah. But because we're not making a lot of progress on it, this at least gets us, the congregation, together, being hospitable with each other. And so then we're also able to be around, jumping to tables and talking to people and letting people see us there as well. And so whether or not you eat or not, I don't know if you have allergies to people's food or whatever, but just being around people and letting them have access to us, I think it's good outside of.
Okay, so you're going to do that in April.
April would be kind of tough.
It's a thought. So this is just a thought. So, and this then drives into the second one, or the next one. So all of my things just go link in. I didn't put them together, though. So children dedication historically has been in the fall. It's been a rush always. It's always, I don't even know when it was last. Last year we skipped it because there was only one baby, so Ansel Clapper, and at that point they were not here every week. They weren't really sure about being here, And I'm like, hey, what if we just push it off because we have 70,000 babies being born in the next 2 or 3 months? And so we did that, and so now we have 6 babies that could actually have dedication. Kreider called me the other day, and he's like, there's this thing going on with the Stryker family that his name is Andy? Is that right? No. Alexandra is her name.
Robert? No.
Phil?
Mr. Stryker.
Dad Stryker. At Chick-fil-A, right?
Yeah, Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, uh-huh. And so his parents are Lutheran, mm-hmm. and they're like, we need to get him baptized. Mm-hmm. And so the question was, from Kreider, was, what if we were to push the baby dedication to sometime in the spring, and then that would sort of maybe settle them, let them feel that there's a church surrounding that baby. Because that's really what the big thing is about this dedication, like a, mm-hmm. the dedication as well as a baptism. It's the family being surrounded. Mm-hmm. And so my thought was, so traditionally they've had that as a breakfast for the families. Now, I don't know if you guys were ever involved in that, but the way that they had set it up was the families came early, had breakfast at the church together, and that there were two parts of that. Getting them at the building or before everybody else, and so that they would actually show up. Yeah. But the other was is that I'm too busy in the morning to arrange a breakfast. There's no question. And it's just not feasible in my mind to do that. So my thought was, what if we had a fellowship after? So we have this baby dedication, have the fellowship right after church, and be able to eat together and enjoy the company of the families that are there. And then that way the families feel that it's not just, hey, I'm coming to this, I'm also being surrounded by the whole family. Timing wise is the other question. So this is where it gets, I've not sat down with the calendar to look at the church calendar or how April looks. April 20th, I know, is Easter. Other than that, there are lots of other things going on.
So what's the 27th or something?
I'd have to get, I don't have my calendar.
It's something, because I won't be there.
Yeah, so it could be May as well, but we'd have to be careful because we have Mother's Day, you have the graduation Sunday. So this is, I mean, tomorrow is my day in the office, so that was my plan to sit there and try to look through all the dates. But I wanted to put it in your guys' heads, at least to begin with, that this is something that we may try to squeeze in.
When do you go to Hungary?
Yeah. After all of this.
After all this.
And then I'll just crash. And
so two thoughts real quick. So first, I don't know why we need to have a lunch or a breakfast. You know, so again, with lunch, I remember when I had little kids, it's like, you know, that means you got to stay through class, and then you got to stay after that. And you know, I don't know that you need that. I think if you give them flowers, you know, that'd be fine. The other is...
No, so it wasn't intentional to give them that. The intention was that we were... The idea was to have a fellowship to begin with, and what if I just mix them all at the same time?
Right. So what I'm saying is, I don't know why you need a fellowship. I would just do the dedication. And again, I'm just remembering back when I had a kid, and getting early wouldn't be fun, and then staying through class and then staying for another hour for whatever that fellowship is wouldn't be fun. And so I would just say, just give me flowers and let me, you know, take my kid home and the dedication. And then on the dedication... I don't know why, if there's only one family, I like the way we used to do that in Mid-County, is somebody have a kid, you know, kids show up at Sunday, and then we would have a dedication, you know, somebody get up and they, you know, do a dedication for it. And so, yeah, like with the clappers, if you just got one kid, I mean, that seems perfect. And then if we have 12 coming.
You're talking about something different, Brett. So that was decided by... The Next Gen Ministry, Jeremiah and all of them at that point, and I was involved in the conversation, and it was decided to ask them if they would be fine it being pushed off. We pushed it off. That's a fact. Done. Now we have 6 or 7 of the kids. Mm-hmm. The kids, and we have to do them at some point between now and...
It's one of those milestones.
Yes, it's a milestone. So it's either going to happen in the spring or it's going to happen in the fall.
Right,
so
and I guess... No matter what. Having a time for it, you know, it just whenever the kid comes is when you do it. But, you know, if you got 6, yeah, you probably need to have a time for it. And then
I think Brett's just saying going forward, why not do it just as the babies are born?
Right.
Then they don't come to church for weeks, and then so that's the question of how we, and that's a next gen ministry conversation.
Yeah, and they've decided on this. Let's go with what they decided.
Yeah. So I'm just following through with what I was told to do, not
right. And again, I'm just.
And that's your personal opinion versus lots of people's opinion. So
right, and I'm just trying to think logistics. You know, again, I like the way we did it at Mid-County. But, yeah, I mean, if you got to do it on a day, then, yeah, just pick a day. But the lunch thing or the breakfast thing, it seems.
Yeah, breakfast, like I said, I probably would not lunch, have.
Either way.
I think it would be more of the. Yeah.
I do think if we want to have a fellowship meal, and the reasons for that are solid, then combining that with a children's dedication, I think, is a really good thought. Mm-hmm. And doing it during class time, you don't have class. That's good for these young families and folks trying to get folks to hang around. It can be more brunchy. Yes. And that might be help you with the scheduling. I don't know if there's a natural break in the classes. Yeah. Or
so there is one. So I need to look at May. Because May is, there's several different times. I know you and Eric are both possibly gone or weren't able to teach or something. I don't remember what it was. That there's some stuff about May that
we got
an extra date that.
You got Senior Sunday.
Mother's Day.
Mother's Day. And then.
There was a.
Father's Day.
I don't remember what that week is.
We don't get
so there's a week that we were not having classes. But I don't remember what the reason was, and I don't think there was.
I don't remember.
It's really odd. It was just, so we'll have to.
So there's a thought.
So that's why I wanted to look at dates, but I wanted, because we were meeting today.
Yeah.
So all of this has happened since last Thursday. So Jeff called me Thursday about that. And so that's what started this whole picture, and Elizabeth had told me on Wednesday the fellowship idea.
Would it be, is Mother's Day a day that you could do the children's dedication at a potluck?
No. So we could not do a potluck. Mother's
Day, does it?
Yeah.
Okay.
If it's Father's Day, no problem, but not Mother's Day.
Yeah, Mother's Day, generally we end early so that everybody can go out with their mom. Mm-hmm. So.
Dan Stryker is his name.
Dan.
Okay.
So
do that. I mean, try to find a date that works for all three and or whatever.
Yes.
And,
okay. So.
And then report back.
Yes. So I'll email you guys tomorrow. Probably hopefully tomorrow I can find something and see if I can, if it works. And it may be that we just figure out and say, hey, because the other thing is we have to get them all available.
Yeah.
So that's the other piece.
So now roll Resurrection Sunday into all that.
That's April 20th.
Yeah.
So my thought has changed a little bit. So I'm still very much about the idea of not calling it necessarily Easter, but I am also trying to think of ways to bring more into it than we had last year. So there's lots of conversations we had at the staff meeting last week about it, and the problem was is that we had lots of people hanging out in our lobby.
Oh yeah,
that was last year.
Oh yeah,
and there was nothing to give them, nothing to tell them, nothing. We didn't know even why they were there. And
how did they know we had the Easter egg sign?
We don't know that either. So this is the problem. So we have
It was on Facebook.
Okay.
So we assume
he was here then, wasn't he?
Didn't we have a sign out there?
We had a sign. Mm-hmm. We had the Facebook, but. We don't know anything about who was here, why they were here, because we had no papers or anything about that, no sign up. Mm-hmm. And so this is where I'm like, well, we have VBS coming right after that. Mm-hmm. And we have lots of things that we do. So just the same way that we had with the fall festival thing, that we had papers come to Advent. And so this whole thing of getting rid of it, that was the original thought because I didn't want to have to deal with it. But to have an opportunity to hand somebody a paper and saying, hey, bring your kids, come join us for this, is a good option.
Yeah.
And so my new thought is that I probably will arrange some Easter egg hunt, as much as I hate Easter egg hunts.
Yeah.
just so that we have the ability.
300 people at Tilly's to come. I mean, you know.
Yes. Yeah. So and then we won't have to redo decorate or like all the signs. We won't have to. We can put the same signs back up, same exact times. We'll have people in the lobby waiting for them to show up, and handing them papers, talking to them, being what we should be, not saying, "Why are you here?" Which is what some of us security people did. So, and some of them couldn't speak English. So it was just, I'm like walking back and forth doing whatever. And I'm like, okay, this is my first day as a children's minister. And so there's things going on. And Jeremiah always ran on the edge of the seat of his pants sometimes for events. And that was one of them. And so I think I can put enough into it to build it into something. So I think that we will do it. You'll see a lot more of the Resurrection Sunday versus the Easter word, but I will probably continue to leave it. You'll see if you read my letters, I do have a picture of the empty tomb, and it says Easter on it. So I was like, I'm not going to spend time re-changing all the letters on these graphics that people created. I'm just going to use them.
And Philip and Sarah are preaching that day.
Yeah, so that'll be good. And and we may try to, if we can, so like Facebook and other places, we'll tell people to show up on time. And so on this sign out here, you can't do that. I mean, there's a lot of things like that. But I think it does say when church starts and when the Easter egg hunt starts. But we should just be happy that they're here, and we will. Yeah. We may actually pipe out the service into the lobby. That's an idea too.
Is it possible to, I was just thinking as I walked by the other day, on the screen you can
put. Yeah, we would have to change the computers. But we do have computers that I think we could use
if you want
to do that.
Yeah, you can, yeah.
Yeah. I just thought I had whatever you guys decide on that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's easy to do.
Is it? Yeah. We may decide it's not good. I don't know.
So we have two Mac Minis that we could use, I think, to do it. Because the computer that's there now will not.
It will.
It would break.
No, so we
you guys
it.
Worked that out.
It'll take 5 minutes to do it. Now, whether you'd want it to do it, I still question whether you'd want it. But
so in a situation like that, we would. Because that way they're at least hearing something. If we're not, and then that way they know why they're waiting too. Mm-hmm. And so just assuming that we're going to have people like that. Hanging out in the lobby, they'll at least hear the sermon going on.
Realistically, it's not going to be quiet enough for them to hear what's going on anyway.
It was pretty quiet though.
Yeah, it was.
So they were pretty respectful of the time, but they were just everywhere, and
we were like, "What do we do with
them?" Yeah, it was awkward on both sides.
Oh yeah, because me and Steve were in the auditor in the nursery together.
Yeah,
and we're like, "What is all these people out there? They don't even know who they are."
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate your willingness to use that to promote VBS. Yeah. I think you're onto something there. That's very worthwhile. So I thank you for taking on the extra.
Do we? All right, I'm skipping up some. Just a quick question and a quick answer. Do we know when Savannah, what's her name?
Hannah. Yeah.
When she might come?
We haven't talked to her about that yet.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. I really don't want to talk about the L retreat.
That's not.
Yep.
It's May 10th, right?
Yes.
May 10th. Okay. Anything else we need to consider tonight?
I think we need some prayer.
Amen. Mm-hmm. All right.
When's our next meeting? Is this the last one in March?
Yes. See, this is I guess the 31st.
No, Don, you got another one.
He's got
April. Oh, he has a whole another month.
March. He's got April, too. Yeah.
So 2 weeks would be the 31st.
That'll throw your April off, right? Because they have that.
Don't we do it like the first and third or second and fourth?
First and third,
yeah.
Just because we got 5 weeks, you don't have to.
Yeah, you don't have to do it.
It's not mandatory, Don. It's your call, though.
Oh, okay. As needed, man.
All right, we will say right now there will not be one.
So the 7th of April.
April 7th.
Yeah.
Okay, April 7th, unless you hear otherwise.
Okay.
Okay, well, Brad, why don't you close us?
Father, we come before you humbly asking for you to give us vision and wisdom to understand what we need to be doing.
Amen.
Father, we sometimes just become tired and thinking that this is never going to end, but I think we understand that your time is what's important.
Yes.
And you're doing things to help do what your will is, and we want to strengthen that in whatever way we can, shape, or form.
Yes.
Father, I pray that you will make it known to us and help us to be godly men who can supply the need of your vision of the body of Christ here at McKnight Crossings. We ask this humbly in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So if anybody has dates between now and, let's say, mid-May, that they're definitely not going to be here, let me know.
On Sunday.
And then that way I will try not to hit those dates that all the elders are gone. Because it would be good for the elders to be there. So
for the children's
dedication? What are you talking about?
For the fellowship meal.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, so if I schedule one, so, but this is just hypothetical, all of it. And so until I get down to a calendar.
Do we have, like, women who are willing to work in the kitchen? Is somebody in charge of that?
Yeah, I would put Elizabeth in charge of it, and she said that she would be happy to arrange that.
Okay.
And, of course, my wife would probably be there because
of course.
Elizabeth would convince her.
Yeah.
I'm gone on the 13th of April.
April?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to... that weekend of
the last April. Of April.
Okay. Yeah. Baby shower.
Oh exciting.
Yeah.
I'm gone this Sunday.
So I was planning this Sunday, Brad.
I just got an email from Eric McPherson. I'm just got it. Hey, Steve, here are my thoughts on John. I'm a solid no. That's what he first says. Do you want me to read the whole thing?
No.
So yes or no?
Traditional, predictable.
No. I listened to both the sermon and class, and they were fine, but traditional and predictable.
Mm.
In the sermon, he said that he doesn't need faith to believe in Jesus as the Son of God because the world told him it was true.
The Word.
The Word told him. Okay. I kind of know what he means, but I thought it was weird. It was a long and rambling sermon, and I lost the point of it. I would not look forward to listening to his sermons on Sunday, and do not think he is a good fit. My biggest problem is that he is a self-described redneck, according to my wife. I don't think the vision of McKnight is an older redneck conservative preacher. Thanks for listening.
Okay. All right. Be careful the way you judge.
Okay. Yeah, if anybody has dates, just let me know, and then I will keep those in mind.
Good meeting, Don. Thank you.
Do it all year long, Don.
Yeah. Do it until you retire.
That'll make him retire quick.
You might, Jeff.
After him.
I don't know who's at the Don.
I've got it on my thing.
It's in the office, too.
I didn't want to take more time, but I was just as a brain.